Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman to Queen Elizabeth's funeral raises controversy. And documents show oil giants operating in the U.S. are manipulating the public over purported attempts to go green. This is News. Thanks for joining us. The Israeli regime keeps demolishing Palestinian homes as part of its land grab policy. According to the UN, Tel Aviv authorities have destroyed 44 homes in the occupied West Bank, including in Al-Quds, in the past 2 weeks alone, about 20 of them without prior notice. As a result of the latest demolitions, dozens of Palestinians have become homeless. Israel routinely destroys Palestinian structures for the lack of permits that are next to impossible to obtain. It also destroys the homes of Palestinians who are involved in anti-Israel operations. Human rights campaigners call the move collective punishment. The demolitions are also seen as part of efforts to make room for settlements. From Ramallah, Mona Kandil has the details about the latest Israeli demolitions.
Between the period 30 of August until 12 September, as you have mentioned, 44 Palestinian homes had been destroyed in Area C of the occupied West Bank that is supposed to be under Palestinian Authority control or under the Palestinian control and part of the future Palestinian state, and some 9 or 12 homes were demolished in Al-Quds. The main reason, or the real reasons, for the ongoing demolition of Palestinian homes for the lack of Israeli-issued permits is because Israel wants to confiscate the lands, give it to nearby illegal settlements to expand the settlements or build in new settler settlements or settler units, or even for using these lands for military purpose, or even to, open new settler, only settler roads, so Palestinians are forced to leave their homes in order to allow the settlers to build a new settler unit.
The Secretary General of Lebanon's Hezbollah movement says the resistance group will not allow the Israeli regime to extract oil and natural gas from an energy field off the Lebanese coast until the maritime dispute is resolved.
What is important is that there is no extraction from Karish, which continues to be disputed, until we draw the maritime borders before Lebanon has its rightful demands. We will not allow the extraction of petrol and gas from the Karish fields, the disputed Karish fields, before Lebanon gets its rightful rights for us. The red line is the beginning of the extraction of petrol and gas from Karish.
In a speech on the annual Arba'in commemoration, Nasrallah underlined that Hezbollah is neither issuing any threats nor does it want any conflicts. But he said that he wants Lebanon's maritime rights to be secured. Nasrallah urged Palestinians, regional countries, and all resistance groups and organizations to join hands against the Israeli regime and to reclaim their rights, land, and resources. Elsewhere in his remarks, the Hezbollah chief touched upon the 1982 massacre of Palestinian refugees in the Sabra and Shatila camps in Beirut. He called it Israel's most heinous crimes, in which Lebanese militias armed by the regime stormed into the camps and brutally killed thousands of civilians. Nasrallah said that Israel has not been held accountable decades after committing the horrible crime. Now we also have comments by the Hezbollah Deputy Secretary General Sheikh Naim Qassam about Israel. He believes that the regime is on the decline. Sheikh Naim Qassam said resistance has been going from strength to strength and that Israel is no longer the determining force in conflicts or wars. He added that while the regime used to wage battles outside of the occupied territories in the past, it now has to fight them inside Israel. Sheikh Qassam has said resistance missiles can now reach every point in the occupied Palestine, including Tel Aviv. He said Israel's biggest ally, the U.S., is also seeing its influence wane. He noted that the U.S. has lost all the wars and battles it has launched in recent times, including those in Afghanistan, Iraq, and in Syria. Sheikh Qassam also pointed out that U.S. sanctions against countries like Iran, Cuba, and Venezuela, have all failed. Diplomatic spat is intensifying between Chile and Israel over the regime's killing of Palestinians. The dispute began on Thursday when the Chilean president put off accepting the credentials of Israel's new ambassador. The foreign ministry said it was a sensitive day because of the killing of a 17-year-old Palestinian by Israeli forces near the occupied West Bank city of Jenin. In response, Israel's foreign ministry summoned the Chilean ambassador for what it called a reprimand. It criticized unprecedented behavior and warned that it would seriously harm relations. The Palestinian Authority has welcomed the Chilean president's position, saying that such moves can put pressure on Israel to stop its daily crimes. The resistance movement Hamas has also hailed the move, calling on all countries to sever their ties with the occupying regime. Israel has killed more than 150 Palestinians this year alone. The British government is facing a barrage of criticism for inviting the Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman to attend Queen Elizabeth's funeral. The criticism centers around bin Salman's role in the murder and dismemberment of dissident Saudi journalist Jamal Khashoggi. Khashoggi's fiancé is calling for bin Salman to be arrested for murder when he arrives in London. Hatice Changiz says the Saudi Crown Prince should be denied the opportunity to seek legitimacy and normalization by attending the Queen's funeral. White campaigners are also citing excessive domestic repression and Saudi Arabia's deadly war against Yemen. The London-based Campaign Against Arms Trade says the occasion gives bin Salman another chance to whitewash his human rights record. The Bahrain Institute for Rights and Democracy is echoing similar concerns. The institute has called bin Salman a notorious Persian Gulf despot who presides over appalling violations against dissidents. Author and activist Fra Hughes from Belfast tells us more about the link between the British royal family and the Saudi Crown Prince.
I saw some details. There were arms licenses for £7.1 billion were issued between the start of the Saudi Arabian bombing of Yemen in May 2015 up until, I think it was June 2022. So there are 7.1 billion reasons why they're going to invite Mohammed bin Salman to London for the Queen's interment. I think also it's, for me, it's very much a case of birds of a feather flocking together. If you look at the history of the British royal family and its military imperialist connections with the government, you have had Prince Andrew fight in the war in the Falklands. You had Prince Harry fighting in the war in against Afghanistan. You had the former Prince Charles, now King Charles, was head of the British Parachute Regiment that murdered 10 people in Ballymurphy in 1971, unarmed civilians, and the same platoon and the same regiment murdered 14 civilians in Derry on the 30th of January, 1972.
Shock and outrage has spread across the British black community as an investigation into the police shooting of an unarmed black man in South London has begun. Chris Cabot was killed at the start of this of the month, and his death has many activists claiming it was an unjust killing by a racist police force. Rob Carter reports at the latest protests in London.
British police have found themselves embroiled in another racism scandal, this time surrounding the killing of an unarmed black man in South London by armed officers on the 5th of September. Following an alleged police pursuit, 24-year-old Chris Carver was behind the wheel of a car hemmed in by two police vehicles in a narrow street before one round was fired, ending his life. He leaves behind a fiancée and an unborn child. No gun was found in the car. Thousands of protesters have descended outside police headquarters in central London to vent their fury over what they say is gross injustice being carried out by the authorities against Chris and his family. Accusations are swirling around, some of which include that the police who stopped Chris on that fateful day may have known who was inside the car in the lead-up to the fatal shooting. This is, of course, all being investigated, but the protest organisers have made absolutely clear that they are going to refuse to back down until the demands of the family are met and justice be served. Fighting back the tears, family members spoke of their ordeal after seeing the body for the first time since the killing.
On behalf of the family, I want to thank everyone for coming. Mum and dad couldn't make it. Like, emotionally, it was just too much for them. But they did send a message saying thank you and that they appreciate all your love and support and your kindness, and it means the world to them, especially during these trying times. As you know, a lot of you met yesterday. We did go to see the body.
News of the shooting has caused uproar, especially in the black community. They feel this was just another example of a racist system out to harm them.
Do you know what? Thank goodness that they've decided not to arm the entire police force, because if that was the case, then I think that would be a cause for concern. Because obviously they're demonstrating themselves to be quite trigger happy.
Following the backlash, the officer responsible for the shooting has been suspended. An investigation is also underway, but the police watchdog warned it could take 9 months to reach a conclusion. The family expressed anger at the lengthy wait. However, the question of race playing a role will be examined as a factor, providing some small hope that the family's demands will be answered. Robert Carter, London.
Major oil companies operating in the U.S. accused of lying to the public about their plans to help advance climate goals. Congressional investigation into the role of fossil fuels in the climate crisis has obtained documents from oil giants ExxonMobil, Chevron, Shell, and BP. In those documents, the oil firms have admitted to manipulating the public over purported attempts to go green. They've even wished that critical activists, in their own words, be infested by bedbugs. This is the third congressional hearing on how the fossil fuel industry has been seeking to hamper efforts to address the climate crisis. Last year, lawmakers called top executives from the oil companies to testify, but they denied that they had misled the public. Moving on to the war in Ukraine, which is now in its seventh month. Moscow and Kiev have accused each other of provoking fighting in the Russian-held southern city of Kherson. Russian media published videos showing clashes between two armored vehicles in the city's center on Saturday evening. Pro-Russia officials in Kherson say the clashes broke out between Russian forces patrolling the streets and an unidentified group of people. They said that they had destroyed a group of attackers, but Ukrainian military officials say the clashes were a provocation by Russian forces. The Ukrainian army is leading a counteroffensive to retake the city. There have been a series of targeted attacks against pro-Russian officials in Kherson in recent weeks. Pro-Russia officials say the city is now calm and that Ukraine is trying to attack the city, but without any results. The U.S. House Speaker has blamed Azerbaijan for initiating the recent deadly border clashes with Armenia.
Our meeting, again, had a particular importance to us because of the focus on security following the illegal and deadly attacks on us by the Azerbaijan on the Armenian territory. We strongly condemn those attacks, we and our delegation, and on behalf of Congress, which threatens prospects for much-needed peace agreement.
Pelosi was speaking in a news conference in Yerevan. She said the U.S. was listening to Armenia about its defense needs. She also said the U.S. wants to help Armenia in what she described as a global struggle between democracy and autocracy. Azerbaijan reacted, calling Pelosi's remarks unfair and a serious blow to peace efforts. The recent border clashes claimed the lives of more than 200 people. Reactions have poured in from across the world, including Iran, which called any new war totally unacceptable. Armenia and Azerbaijan have fought two wars over the disputed region of Nagorno-Karabakh. A Russian brokered ceasefire ended a six-week war in 2020, which claimed the lives of more than 6,500 troops from both sides. People in Iran have marked Arbaeen the 40th day after the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Hussein, the grandson of the Prophet Muhammad. Ceremonies have taken place in the capital Tehran as well to mark the event, which is the largest annual religious gathering in the world. Yusuf Jalali has more.
Iranians across the country have commemorated Arbaeen, the 40th day after the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Hussein. People in the capital Tehran marked the occasion too by walking southward to the town of Ray. That was a symbolic walk by those who could not take part in the Arbaeen march held in Iraq, where pilgrims from across the world marched toward the city of Karbala, which houses the holy shrine of Imam Hussein.
I'm so sad that I couldn't visit the holy shrine of Imam Hussein this year, but I took part in this walk in Tehran to play my part in preserving the legacy of Imam Hussein.
This is a march for all of the freedom seekers, no matter what their religion is. Imam Hussein sacrificed his life 14 centuries ago to save our religion, so this could be a lesson for all people to uphold righteousness, even if it comes at the cost of their lives.
Imam Hussein is the third Shia Imam and the grandson of the Prophet Muhammad. The Shia Imam and his companions were killed by the tyrant of their time, Yazid, during the Battle of Karbala some 14 centuries ago. Every year, on the occasion of Arba'in, millions of pilgrims from different countries travel on foot to get to Imam Hussein's shrine. The march is meant to sympathize with the Imam on the pains he endured during the Battle of Karbala.
To us Muslims, participating in the Arba'in march in Karbala is more than a religious duty, but a passion for preserving Imam Hussein's ideology and promoting it among the new generation.
Imam Hussein and his companions were martyred after they refused to pay allegiance to Yazid, for they believed he did not practice Islam, as taught by the Prophet Muhammad.
As Imam Hussein said, he rose against Yazid to revive true Islam as introduced by the Prophet Muhammad, who was Imam Hussein's grandfather. By his refusal to pay allegiance to Yazid, our Imam exposed the fact that Yazid was not treading the path of Islam.
This year, from Iran alone, some 3.5 million people took part in the Arba'in Walk in Iraq, in a show of respect for Imam Hussein, who is known among Muslims as a symbol of resistance against tyranny.
To Muslims, the Arba'in Walk is of key importance. These people couldn't make it to Karbala this year, but they felt bound to take part in this symbolic march, for they believed by doing this, they would help preserve the legacy of Imam Hussein. Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
And that is it for World News. It's bye-bye for now.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Listeners Special. In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and warm greetings to you all. Welcome to this week's edition of Listeners Special on this Sunday, September 18, 2022. I'm Atefe Erfani, hosting this program today. Here, on behalf of all IRIB English radio staff, I express my condolences on the occasion of Arba'in, which this year happened to be yesterday, September 17th. For your information, Arba'in is 40th day after the martyrdom of Imam Hussein, peace be upon him, as well as his companions, in the year 61 AH. Stay with us, please. This is Listeners Special, and Listeners Special is the Sunday program where your views are presented through emails, letters, and messages. So please contact us and tell us what you think about IRIB English radio programs. And if you have any message for our listeners around the world, you can record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard in this program. Please do remember, Listeners Special is your program. It's your views that are important. Welcome back, and as usual, many of you have taken the trouble of sending us reception reports. These reception reports are very helpful to us, especially to our technicians and engineers. These reception reports actually enable us to provide a better service to our listeners around the world. All of you who have sent in a reception report will be receiving an electronic QSL card from us. And here, I truly appreciate those of our listeners who have kindly sent us reception reports, including Ivan Zeleny from Russia, Najmuddin from India, and David Moby from Finland. And of course, we've received many emails from around the world, which I mentioned some of their names here, and later during the program, I will read these emails. Mohammad Khaku from the US has sent us an email on the occasion of Arba'in. Eddie Witanto from Indonesia, one of our old and regular listeners, has sent us an email. From Italy, we've received an email from Simone Santini. And the last but not the least is an email from Rob Den Boer from the Netherlands. Please stay with us. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special, and here we have an email from Mohammad Khaku from the US. Mohammad Khaku says, "The concept of pilgrimage exists in all major religions. However, not many know about the pilgrimage to Iraq and the walk from the city of Najaf to Karbala on the occasion of Arba'in. 40 days after the martyrdom anniversary of Shia's third Imam, Imam Hussein, peace upon him, millions of Muslim worshippers converge in Iraq's holy city of Karbala as part of the annual pilgrimage. Imam Hussein, the grandson of the Prophet of Islam, Prophet Muhammad, peace upon him, was martyred in Karbala on a day which became known as Ashura, the 10th day of the Islamic month of Muharram, having refused to pledge allegiance to the corrupt and tyrannical caliph of the time, Yazid. In the day of Arba'in, Shia and Sunni Muslims, even Christians, partake in both the pilgrimage as well as serving of devotees. No such an event exists in the world with such a frequency and magnitude. This is the largest peaceful gathering which many people probably never heard of it, and many Western media have failed to cover or deliberately censor. Arbaeen is newsworthy because of a unique and exceptional 55-mile walk. Millions will walk for 3 days during the day and night time with the scorching desert sun bearing down upon them. The volunteers, doctors, and devotees distribute free food and drinks by the roadside and have tents for medical attention, relaxing, sleeping, and washing. The event of Arbaeen is largely self-organizing. However, the event is well secured and superbly managed by the authorities. The mood of the pilgrimage is one of intense piety, unity, and solidarity. First of all, salam and warm greetings to you, Muhammad Khaku from the US, and many thanks for writing this email to us, actually this detailed email to us. You gave us great information about the occasion of Arbaeen. Recently, I had a trip to Karbala, Iraq, and participated in the ceremony. And what you described actually came in front of my eyes. It's a really great event. I cannot describe it, and words really fail me in describing this event. Muhammad Khaku from the US, again, thank you for writing this great email to us. Please write to us soon. My colleagues will soon send you an electronic USL card to you as verification. And after a short break, I will be back with you. Welcome back. Eddie Witanto from Indonesia, one of our old and regular listeners, has sent us an email. Let's see what Eddie says. Many thanks for your quick reply to the listeners. I'm very glad to read your email. I know Iran since long time. When I was only a child, my father would often refer to the word Persia. Later, I found out that it means the country which we now know as Iran. So, for me, Iran is not only dear and famous for its carpet, but also is interesting for me for its historical relationship with my country. First of all, salam and warm greetings to you from Tehran, the Islamic Republic of Iran, and IRIB English Radio to you, Eddie Witanto from Indonesia. Please accept our warm gratitude to you for writing this email to us. It's great that you know about Iran. IRIB English Radio is a good source of information for you, Eddie Witanto from Indonesia, to know more about the land of Iran, about the Iranian people, and the developments in our country, the Islamic Republic of Iran. Eddie Witanto from Indonesia, many thanks again. Write to us soon and tell us your views about IRIB English Radio programs. And here we've received an email from Simone Santini from Italy. Let's see what Simone says. Dear staff, I have a very great pleasure in sending you a reception report about your English broadcast I heard a few days ago. I'm using a receiver with a long wire antenna. My station is located in Prato, central Italy. I listened to the music followed by news program in which the speaker mentioned Italy and various facts regarding energy and gas cost. Also, I listened to a program about an Iranian national hero in the time of British occupation, which I enjoyed a lot. Hoping you will confirm this report. Best regards from Italy. Salam and warm greetings to you from Tehran, the Islamic Republic of Iran. Simone Santini from Italy, and please accept our appreciations to you for writing this email to us. It's also a pleasure for us to receive a reception report from you, Simone. My colleagues will soon send you an electronic QSL card as a verification. We wish you all the best, and we are so happy that the signals of IRIB English Radio is received by you and in your region, Simone. And we are so glad that you told us your views about IRIB English Radio programs, including the programs, as you said, that was about an Iranian national hero in the time of British occupation, as well as programs about various facts regarding energy and gas costs around the world. So please accept our appreciations to you. We're looking forward to hearing from you very soon, Simone Santini from Italy. And after a short break, I will be back with you. Welcome back. Rob Den Boer from the Netherlands has sent us an email. Rob says, "Dear friends at IRIB English Radio, my name is Rob Den Boer and I live in the city of Hainaut, Netherlands. It is with pleasure that I hereby confirm your broadcast. Please listen to audio file attached. If this report is accepted as correct, please send me your verification. Thank you so much." Salam and greetings to you, Rob Den Boer from the Netherlands, one of our regular listeners, and thank you very much for sending this email to us. We are glad that our signals are heard in your region, in your city, Hainaut, Netherlands. We are looking forward to hearing from you very soon, and please accept our EQSL card as a verification. And here we come to the end of this edition of Listeners Special. But before saying goodbye, I, on behalf of all IRIB English Radio staff, express my condolences on the occasion of Arba'in, which this year happened to be yesterday, September 17th. And for your information, Arba'in is the 40th day after the martyrdom of Imam Hussein, peace upon him, as well as his companions, in the year 61 AH. Many thanks for being with us. Please keep in touch with us. Have a good time and goodbye.
Dear listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We'll be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send your emails to EnglishRadio@irib.ir. That is one word, EnglishRadio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at www.pasttoday.com/en. Our phone number is 00981-2201-3720. Once again, our phone number is 00981-2201-3720. Our profile is also in Facebook. Our address is www.facebook.com/pasttodayenglish. Thank you all.
که انسان را مطمئن می کند ذکر خدا ذکر الله تطمئن القلوب.
Be aware, the hearts find rest in Allah's remembrance.
Spring of truth.
Allahu ya Allah subhanallah. Allahu ya Allah walhamdulillah. Allahu wa la ilaha illa Allah. Allahu ya Allah wallahu akbar.
This is part of a speech of Imam Khomeini, the founder of Islamic Revolution of Iran. It is necessary that the crimes of the tyrants in each age and era be regularly condemned in the cries of lamentations and in the recitals of elegies held for the infallible imams. In this age, which is the age of oppression of the world of Islam by America and Russia and their satellites, including the Saudi family, these traitors to the great divine sanctuary, his prophet and his angels, the crimes of these oppressors must be strikingly reminded, cursed, and imprecated.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to the program Spring of Truth from IRB English Radio. I'm your host, Sayyid Mohsin Naqvi, with the viewpoints of Imam Khomeini in regards to the resurrection and the hereafter. In one of his speeches, he mentions that the scale of our deeds is with God. Everything is and will be recorded. Now, in this part of his speech, obviously, he's referring to what it has been said in the Quran, and this is from the firm beliefs that we have. To be a Muslim, we must believe in one God, which is Tawheed or monotheism. On the other hand, we must believe on all the angels, the four books, and 124,000 prophets and messengers which were sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the last thing which we need to believe in is the day of resurrection or hereafter, which is confirmed. Imam Khomeini is saying that the scale of our deeds is with God. Why? Because everything is and will be recorded. And therefore, in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that day will precede the mankind.
Ya Rabbana, salli ala Taha al-Nabi wa alihi.
Sallallahu alayhi.
In scattered groups, in order to be shown their deeds, they will see their deeds. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a mizan, and that mizan and scale is according to the hadith of the Prophet, which the Prophet has said that, Ya Ali, anta mizanul a'mal, O Ali, you are the scale of a'mal, which means that in today's world after the Prophet, whoever loves Ali, whoever have the love of Ahlul Bayt and Ali alayhi salam in his actions, he will definitely succeed. But if someone performs everything without the love of Ali alayhi salam, then obviously there is a doubt. Why? Because the Prophet has said that, Ya Ali anta mizanul a'mal, O Ali, you are the scale of a'mal. We know that in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the love of Ahlul Bayt wajib and obligatory, and it is said to the Prophet, قُلْ لَا أَسْأَلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ أَجْرًا إِلَّا الْمَوَدَّةَ فِي الْقُرْبَى. O Prophet, tell them that if they want to give a reward for what you have done, tell them to love your Ahlul Bayt. Why to love Ahlul Bayt? It's because when we follow Ahlul Bayt, when we follow these infallibles, we are following the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because they are assigned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as the leaders and the role model for us. Allah said that Allah is the wali, Allah is the leader, the guardian, and his prophet, and it's Amirul Mu'mineen, the Ulul Amr. They are the leaders, they are the guardians. Therefore, we must perform our actions according to the actions and deeds which were told by Ahlul Bayt, inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
In the limelight.
Former President Donald Trump's lawyers urge a judge to reject the Department of Justice's bid to resume its review of documents seized from Mar-a-Lago pending an appeal of the court ruling to appoint a special master. The FBI seized thousands of government records when it raided Mar-a-Lago in Florida, including many that bore high-level classification marks. The Department of Justice, the DOJ, has argued that a special master is unnecessary and could harm the government's national security interests in the criminal investigation. Stay with us for more. The Associated Press has covered this story. The Justice Department asked the Federal Appeals Court on Friday, 16th of September, to lift a judge's order that temporarily barred it from reviewing the batch of classified documents seized during an FBI search of former President Donald Trump's Florida home at Mar-a-Lago last month. The Department of Justice told the 11th Circuit U.S. Court of Appeals in Atlanta, Georgia, that the judge's hold, imposed last week, had impeded the government's effort to protect the nation's security, and interfered with its investigation into the presence of top-secret information at Mar-a-Lago. It asked for a court to remove that order so work could resume and to hold the judge's directive forcing the department to provide the seized classified documents to an independent arbiter for his review. The government and the public would suffer irreparable harm absent a stay of the order, department lawyers wrote in their brief to the appeals court. U.S. District Judge Eileen Cannon's appointment of a so-called special master to review the documents and the resulting legal tussle it has caused appears certain to slow by weeks the department's investigation into the holding of classified documents at the Florida property after Donald Trump left the White House. The Justice Department has been investigating possible violations of multiple statutes, including under the Espionage Act, but it remains unclear whether Donald Trump, who has been laying the groundwork for a potential presidential run in 2024, or anyone else might be charged. The FBI says it took about 11,000 documents, including roughly 100 with classification markings found in a storage room and an office while serving a court-authorized search warrant at the home of Donald Trump on 8th of August. Weeks after the search, Trump lawyers asked the judge to appoint a special master to conduct an independent review of the rounds. U.S. District Judge Eileen Cannon granted the request last week, assigning a special master to review the records and weed out any that may be covered by claims of attorney-client or executive privilege. She directed the department to hold its use of the classified documents for investigative purposes until further court order or until the completion of the special master's work. On Thursday night, 15th of September, she assigned Raymond Deary, the former chief judge of the federal court based in Brooklyn, New York, to serve on the role. She also declined to lift her earlier order, citing ongoing disputes about the nature of the documents that she said merited a neutral review by an outside arbiter. The court does not find it appropriate to accept the government's conclusions on three important and disputed issues without further review by a neutral third party in an expedited and orderly fashion, she wrote. The Justice Department on Friday night, 16th of September, told the appeals court that Judge Eileen Cannon's injunction unduly interferes with the criminal investigation, prohibiting investigators from accessing the seized records to evaluate whether charges are appropriate. It also prevents the FBI from using the seized records in its criminal investigation to determine which documents, if any, were disclosed and to whom, the department said. Though Judge Eileen Cannon has said investigators are free to do other investigative work that did not involve a review of the documents, the department said on Friday that that was largely impractical. Nothing the discovery of dozens of empty folders at Mar-a-Lago marked classified, it said the judge's hold appeared to bar it from further reviewing the records to discern any patterns in the eyes of records that were retained, which could lead to identification of other records still missing. The Department of Justice also asked the appeals court to reject Judge Eileen Cannon's order that it provide the newly appointed special master with the classified documents, suggesting there was no reason for the arbiter to review highly sensitive records that did not involve questions of legal privilege. CNBC has also covered the same story and gives us more details. Lawyers for former President Donald Trump on Monday urged a federal judge to reject an effort by the Department of Justice to resume its review of documents seized from Donald Trump's home, while the agency appeals the judge's decision to appoint a special master in the case. Judge Eileen Cannon's order authorizing the appointment of the special master, an independent third party, to examine the seized records for personal items and possibly privileged material is a sensible preliminary step towards restoring order from chaos, Donald Trump's lawyers wrote. The government should therefore not be permitted to skip the process and proceed straight to the preordained conclusion, they argued in the U.S. District Court in Southern Florida. The FBI seized thousands of government records when it raided Mar-a-Lago, Trump's resort home in Palm Beach, Florida, on Monday, 8th of August. Many of those documents bore classification markings, including dozens of folders that were empty when they were collected by the FBI. The Justice Department has argued that a special master is unnecessary because a team of agency officials has already completed a review of the documents to exclude material from prosecutors protected by attorney-client privilege. The Department of Justice also argued the appointment of a special master could harm the government's national security interests in the criminal investigation. Judge Eileen Cannon, who was appointed by Donald Trump last week, ordered a special master to determine the records before turning them over to federal prosecutors. Her order also temporarily blocked the Department of Justice from further investigating the documents behind classification markings. The Department of Justice on Thursday appealed Judge Eileen Cannon's ruling to the U.S. Court of Appeals for the 11th Circuit, which holds appellate jurisdiction over cases from district courts in Florida. The same day, the government also asked Cannon to stay her order enjoining review of the classified marked documents while the appeal is proceeding. On Friday, Donald Trump and the Department of Justice each submitted two cases to serve as special master while expressing disagreements about the scope of the review of the seized records. The Department of Justice wants the special master to send any alleged executive privilege documents to the National Archives and Records Administration, while Donald Trump's attorneys say there is no need for the special master to do so.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1520 to 1620 UTC on the following frequencies. 25 meters, 11,865 kilohertz for the Indian subcontinent, and FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and IranSat or Bat 5, and via the Internet. Our Internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Every night and every day, every night and every day, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah.
IRIB English Radio, a herald of unity and solidarity amongst Islamic denominations.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Welcome to our program, Hadith of the Day, here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we're going to be looking at a very beautiful and noble hadith, which has been narrated from Imam Baqir alayhi salam. This hadith is about betrayal or khiyanat. You know, betrayal is one of those grave sins, and it's been reprimanded and prohibited in many of the traditions of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. For example, the Prophet said, "The one who betrays his trust is not from us. Laysa minna man khana bil amanat." Right? And Imam Ali is reported to have said, "Betrayal is the fountainhead of hypocrisy.
right? So in general terms, betrayal is something bad. It's, you know, it's a grave sin. We have related in a very beautiful hadith that a man came to Imam Muhammad al-Baqir alayhi salam and said the following to him: "May I be your ransom? May I be sacrificed for you? Juilto fidak. I am a man who wishes to go to Mecca." Meaning the man wanted to go to pilgrimage to Mecca. "But I have an overdue debt to a Murji'ite. So can you please advise me? You know, can you please advise me what to do?" And just by way of explanation, the Murji'ites were a theological sect. They kind of appeared after the Battle of Nehrawan. And this group, right, they had a specific theory regarding the person who commits a grave sin, right? This was a big problem for some of the very nascent and initiatory theological schools of thought within Islam. And that was the problem of the person who commits a grave sin, a kabira. You know, what will happen to him on the day of resurrection? Will he be forgiven? Will he go to hell? Or will he, you know, if he goes to hell, will he stay there eternally? Or will he, you know, eventually be saved from the hellfire, right? So this was a big problem for them. The Murji'ites, they had their own theory regarding this. Right now, we don't want to delve into exactly what they said. Just we wanted to explain, you know, what this term meant. So this follower of the Ahlul Bayt, he had a debt. He had taken some money from this Murji'ite, and he wanted to go to Mecca, but he also had to pay his debt, and the time for paying his debt had passed. So he asked the Imam, "What should I do? Should I go to Mecca or should I pay back my debt?" The Imam alayhi salam replied, "Pay your debt and focus on meeting your Lord without any debt on your shoulders." The Imam says, first take care of your debt, and then if you have any money left, go for the pilgrimage or go for the, you know, Umrah or whatever. For verily a believer does not betray his trust. The Imam takes this act of not paying one's debt as a betrayal of trust and says, this is prohibited, so pay your trust and then go to Mecca. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at betrayal, khiyanat, in the words of Imam Baqir alayhi salam. Until next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
Joining us now from Ontario, Canada.
Now back to our story.
What is it in there?
We will be talking about this.
Let me bring in Leo Sazdi. He's a professor of international.
The Spotlight.
Hezbollah's Secretary General has yet again issued a stern warning to Israel. Lebanon will not permit Israel to extract oil and gas from Karish gas and oil field before the resolution of a maritime dispute. The resistance movement has said this is not a threat, that it only wants what rightfully belongs to Lebanon. Could this spell the beginning of yet another conflict between Israel and Lebanon? Well, in this edition of the Spotlight,